Well, perhaps this gospel sounds very familiar. We're still going through John chapter 6. As you know, the readings are on a three-year cycle. And so every 3 years, for 5 weeks during the summer, we go through the gospel of John. This is the fourth week. We'll be finishing up the gospel of John chapter 6 next Sunday. In today's gospel, though, the Lord again reminds us that He is the bread that comes down from heaven, and He says, "The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." And as soon as the Lord told the crowd that the bread that He will give is actually His own body, the flesh for the life of the world, people began to quarrel among themselves. It says that they began to say, "How in the world can this man do this? How can he give us his flesh to eat?" We, of course, know how the Lord would do that. He would do it at the Last Supper in giving us himself, the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, under the appearances of bread and wine. So they question the Lord, say, "How do you plan on doing this? Are you speaking symbolically? Are you speaking literally?" Well, the Lord answers by reaffirming that He is actually speaking literally. Notice He does not say, again, that this bread will represent my body or will symbolize my body. He doesn't say that. He three times reaffirms that He's speaking literally. He says to them, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you do not have life within you." The life He's referring to is the supernatural life of God's grace that comes to us through Christ, through His sacraments, and especially through His real presence in the Eucharist. And then He goes on by saying, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." And again, He reaffirms a third time, "For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." So the Lord makes it very clear He's not speaking metaphorically or symbolically or figuratively. He's speaking literally. And again, one, two, three times He keeps reaffirming the fact that it's truly Himself as the bread of life. Now, this is such a great act of love that the Lord has for us, that He loves us so much He wants to be with us and nourish us and feed us with His own body and blood. How do we respond to the Lord's great love for us in the Eucharist? Well, love given means that we should give love back. We should show the Lord also love in return. And we can do this in many ways, very practically. Let me just give a couple of practical examples of how we can show the Lord that we love Him in the Blessed Sacrament. For one thing that I'm sure all of us do is when we come into the auditorium, since we have the tabernacle here, we have the true body and blood of the Lord in the tabernacle, genuflecting is a sign of love for the Lord. We genuflect as we come in, before we come into the row, and after Mass, we genuflect again before we leave. And that's such a great sign of love for the Lord. In our heart, we should even say, "My Lord and my God," every time we genuflect. Another nice thing to do, if we can, to try to get to Mass a little bit early, to spend some time in prayer before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Perhaps we can spend a few moments reflecting and praying before Mass begins. You might even want to read the scriptures that will be read at the Mass. The more you read them ahead of time, the more familiar you'll be with them and the more you'll get out of those readings. It's also important to bless ourselves with the holy water as we come into Mass. Whenever we do that, we're renewing our baptismal vows and promises. The holy water is always kept at the entrance to remind us that's how we became Christians, by our baptism. So we bless ourselves with holy water. And actually, the holy water can take away venial sins, smaller sins. Whenever we bless ourselves with holy water, it can, if we're sorry for our sins, wash away all of our smaller, minor imperfections and sins. And it also can help us to resist temptation. Holy water is very powerful. It's blessed with a prayer of exorcism over the water. And so it'll keep some of the evil thoughts out of our minds. It'll keep us close to the Lord. So we bless ourselves. It's also a good idea to dress nicely for Mass, to dress respectfully and appropriately for Mass, which I think that we try our best to do. It's nice that you even make sure you dress your kids up for Mass as well. You know, in schools, they find that the kids behave best on picture-taking day. Did you ever notice that? When you dress up the kids, they never have any behavior problems on those days. And so keep that in mind, that if you want your kids to always act reverently and respectfully in Mass, try to always have them dress nicely for Mass. So we can show the Lord love by coming to Mass a little bit early, saying some prayers before Mass, genuflecting. And it's also a good idea to really use the beginning part of Mass to prepare for receiving communion. Some of the saints have written that there are three stages of the spiritual life. There's the purgative stage, there's the illuminative stage, and then there's the unitive stage. The purgative stage is really trying to rid ourselves of the spirit of the world and sin and imperfection. The illuminative is enlightening our mind, trying to know the Lord better. And that then we come to the unitive stage, which is oneness with God. So notice that the Mass takes us through those stages. We begin by doing the I Confess to Almighty God, the Confiteor, and we try to cleanse ourselves of sin and the evil of the world and the evilness that's out there in our society. So we begin by the penitential rite at Mass, and then we have the readings, which illuminate the mind, and that's all to prepare us for oneness with God in Holy Communion. See, the scriptures help to enlighten our mind so that we can receive the Lord in communion so much more. That is the great gift that we have of being one with our Savior when we receive Him in Holy Communion. So we begin by preparing well before we receive the Lord, and then we try to receive the Lord with as much attention and devotion and reverence that we can. Now, the Church reminds us of a couple things that we should do before we receive communion. One of them is that when the priest or minister says the body of Christ, we should say the words Amen in a strong voice, because that word Amen means so be it, I believe. It's an act of faith. They hold up the body of Christ and say, the body of Christ. And when you say Amen, we are reaffirming that we believe it's truly the Lord with us. Another thing we should always remind ourselves, that we should only receive the Lord when we're in the state of His friendship, in the state of grace. If we're ever aware of any serious sins, we go first to confession, have those washed away and absolved, and then we can then receive the Lord in the proper disposition. Now, the Church also says that we should make a sign of reverence before we receive Holy Communion. Now, in the past, before Vatican II, they had the altar rails. Remember the altar rails, some of you? When people knelt for communion, that in and of itself was an act of reverence, because you were kneeling, and kneeling is a sign of adoration and humility. Well, nowadays, we come down the aisle and go back. But the Church says, don't forget to make a sign of reverence for the Lord. And we should always do that. I think we're getting pretty good at that at this parish. I think but we always need reminding. And so today, before you receive the Lord, make sure that you make a sign of reverence before you receive the Lord. That can help to increase our faith and our devotion and love for Christ. The bishops of the country have recommended that at least we should make a profound bow, to bow our heads as the person ahead of us is receiving communion. We should bow, and then perhaps in our heart we should say a little prayer like, my Lord and my God. What a beautiful thing to do before we receive the Lord, that sign of reverence. Let's try to remind ourselves today and then every Sunday to make a sign of reverence before the Lord. At least it should be the bow. Now, it's also interesting to note that when we receive communion, we can receive in one of two ways. Receiving on the tongue, which is the traditional way. The church also allows people to receive in the hand. But it does say, though, that we should be very careful if you do receive in the hand to make sure that there are no particles or crumbs of the Blessed Sacrament. Because in every particle, the Lord is present. Now, some friends of mine just got back from vacation. They were in a different state. And they were very upset when they got back because they attended Mass in a different state. And they said when they were at the Mass, the bread that was used at Mass broke apart very easily. And there were particles and crumbs all over the place. And they saw people, after they went to communion, walk back to their pew and go like this. And it upset them. And it should upset us because we know that that is the Lord. The Church teaches that as a defined teaching of the faith, that the Lord is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, under the appearances of the bread, under the appearances of the wine. So we have to make sure that when we receive the Lord, we take extra care. That's why we have the altar servers. They have the paten to make sure that no particles fall. I very carefully clean the chalice and ciborium at the end of Mass. So let's make an extra effort to make sure that we are careful and reverent when we receive the Lord in Holy Communion. A priest friend of mine, he's very witty, he's very great sense of humor. He once wrote a little article about the things he saw in his own parish that he was trying to get the people to just be careful of. One of them, and I have not seen this here, but once when he was giving communion, the person reached out, maybe it was a teenager, I don't know, and reached out and tried to grab the host, okay? So he called that the return of the body snatchers, okay? So he said, don't do that. He said, he made a good point. He said, when we go to communion, we are called to receive communion. The Lord loves us so much, He wants to give us Himself. We don't try to take the Lord. We want to be receptive. He gives Himself to us in communion. Now, another thing that the priest noticed that sometimes when people come to communion, they might be carrying a baby or holding their child's hand. And he says sometimes when they're holding the baby, they still try to receive communion in the hand, even though they're carrying, you know, the baby and the diaper bag and all this. He says, he calls that, he says, you ever see the sign in the back of a station wagon that says, baby on board? Well, that, he calls that the baby on board. And he says, when you're carrying something, like a child or an infant or holding a child's hand, always receive communion on the tongue. That way you don't have to try to work on being able to receive the Lord in the hand in that way. He also says, he noticed that some people, what he called eat and run, that they receive the Lord and they start walking away without receiving the Lord right away. And again, we should, after we receive, either on the tongue or in the hand, receive right away before we start walking back to our pew. He had like 10 different things that he noticed. These are only three I can remember. I read the article years ago. But they're good reminders of us, and I think we're very good in this parish of showing respect and reverence to the Lord in Holy Communion. And lastly, we should spend time in thanksgiving. So we have preparation, reception of communion, but then there's also thanksgiving. Let's try, if we can, to spend a few minutes after we receive communion in prayer. And the way we can do this is after Mass, maybe spend a few minutes, just sit down or kneel down for a couple minutes and realize that the Lord is still within us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, for at least 15 minutes after we receive communion. We're living temples, living tabernacles of the Lord for 15 minutes until the elements of the bread and wine are gone. And so the Lord is within us. And they say that when we receive communion, the saints tell us that one Holy Communion properly received with the proper disposition and the proper state of soul could make us a great saint. Isn't that amazing? One Holy Communion could make us a great saint. Why is it that we're not transformed into the Lord every time we receive communion? The answer is because we often put up obstacles and we're not properly disposed to receive all the graces that the Lord wants to give us. If you go to the ocean but only take a bucket with you, you can only fill up a bucket's worth of ocean. Now, when we receive communion, we're receiving an infinite ocean of grace. But the reason why we're not becoming as holy as we want to become, as God wants us to become, is perhaps maybe our bucket is too small, which is our love for God, our faith, our hope, or charity, is that we have limited the Lord in our own lives. And so because of that, we're not receiving as much grace as we could receive. So by good preparation, by very reverent reception, and by thanksgiving, we can expand our capacity and love the Lord all the more. He loves us so much, and let's try to return love for His love. God bless you.